thank you, dear pastor here, and dear friends, dear children, young people. Perhaps, as I might be helped this afternoon, the address could be thought to be unusual. But first of all, we are so constantly hearing today of a multi-faith society. And perhaps you children and others may wonder what that really means. But I believe I can tell you, at least to some little extent, what it means. Because in our nation today, we have many different religions. And I'm just going to tell you what some of them would be called, or what is the basis of what we may rightly say of them, so-called faith. First of all, there are the Hindus with their millions of idols. They worship idols, and it is rightly said, the Hindu with his millions of idols. And they depend on those idols for their salvation. But then, of course, we have the dreadful system known as Islam, which is spreading far and wide throughout the world. And if someone belongs to that dreadful system, they would be called a Muslim. Now the Hindus have their millions of idols, the Muslims with their implacable, cruel Allah. That, of course, is their God. And he is no God. And their religion, as indeed all these other religions that are known as in our day as multi-faith society, that their religion is ruled by fear, as it is with the Hindu. Then there are the Buddhists with his hopeless philosophy of self-salvation. I cannot enlarge on these different religions because I feel it is not the time or place to do so. But there are many Buddhists in different parts of the world, and regarding their religion, it is a hopeless religion, a hopeless philosophy of self-salvation, that is, in believing that in and through their philosophy, the doctrines of men, they will obtain salvation. Then, of course, there are still the communists, or as it would be right to say of them, they are atheists. And while to some considerable extent this terrible regime in the world has come to nothing, but it isn't dead. Particularly as we think of the communists as atheists. Now that means this, that they do not believe there is a God. How solemn their religion is. They do not believe there is a God. Then, of course, there are the Roman Catholics, another very powerful force still in the world today. And with them, they must, that is really at the root of their belief, they must submit to the Pope, who sets himself up as the vicar of Christ upon earth. And of course, the Roman Catholic religion is also governed by fear. It is a terrible system, with all its man-made doctrine, a religion based on fear. Now there, I have mentioned the Hindus, the Muslims, the Buddhists, the communists or the atheists, the Roman Catholics. And we are surrounded by them in our land today, particularly with the Muslims, and their temples are being built one after another in our land, and God is permitting it, and they are being permitted also, the Roman Catholics, to gain power. And all of this, of course, is exceedingly solemn. Now, even thinking of what is called a multi-faith society brings confusion. I'm sure it's right to say that it brings confusion to many in our land today. And oh, how many are left in the dark regarding these dreadful systems. And so what I desire this afternoon is to try to speak just a little of what a real religion is. But first of all, regarding the question of confusion, there is great confusion in the Church of England today. Dreadful confusion that there is in that system. What else can we call it? When those in high places are turning completely away from God and His Word, and in its place they are putting the doctrines of men. They've turned aside to fables, and that in itself brings confusion. If we think of the death of Princess Diana and all that transpired after her most solemn death, and the way that the whole nation was affected, carried away by it. And oh, how solemn that funeral service, we might again say, so-called, was. Not only is there confusion in the Anglican Church, but in every other, again I use the word religion. We know, many of you will know, would understand perhaps when we talk of Methodists, General Baptists, Pentecostals, and others. But coming perhaps, and I feel there's a need to come much closer still to this, and this is where I want particularly to speak to the dear young people, but indeed to all of us. What confusion there is in religious circles today. And even, and I say this with sadness, even among our own circle of chapels, there is much confusion. Many differing thoughts and ways. Many things are proclaimed from pulpits. And I am sure that you, dear young people, and older ones too, there are times when we feel, our minds are filled with confusion. And we're brought back surely to this. And we have to say, well, what is truth? And that is what Pilate said. What is truth? And you may sometimes feel so confused when there are things that happen, things that are said, things that are going on, and oh, you think, what is right? What is truth? Well, I'm going to read a few verses from God's word to you, because in any address I do feel that we must ever seek to base what we may be helped to say upon God's word. And so I just ask you to turn to Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 4, and reading, I feel there's the need to read to verse 16. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 4, and reading to verse 16. I'll give you time to find it. Ephesians, which follows after Galatians, chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. And in these verses, we have, I believe, what we may rightly say is the very centre of real religion. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now listen, there is one body, that is, of course, the whole family of God. To use a word that our older friends will understand, the whole election of grace. That is, everyone whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now there is one body, one true church, one true religion. And it goes on, and one Spirit. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Now it says one Lord. And there's only one faith. There's only one true faith, one baptism, which I believe particularly speaks of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In other words, to be taught by the Holy Spirit. And I want to try to convey a little more of that in a moment. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us, and what a mercy if this is so, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And that's going on everywhere today. But what follows, that speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Oh, how important those truths are. Now, you dear young people and dear friends, how may we be instructed into these vital truths? Really, it could be summed up like this, I feel. Because when we come to die, we need to be found in Jesus Christ. We need to know the Lord Jesus Christ for ourselves. Your pastor has read a verse, the third verse of that third hymn, to us this afternoon. And I had to mention it last evening, and the verse is this: how stands the case, my soul, with thee? Now this is important. For heaven, are thy credentials clear? And then it goes on: is Jesus' blood thine only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? Dear friends, all of us here, how do we answer that verse this afternoon? But I do want to speak a few simple thoughts, and yet they're very profound, really. How can we understand the Bible rightly? How can we stand up against these multi-faith society that we live in? And I'm sure that more so here and there in the country, but children that fear God and are being brought up in homes where God is feared, they are coming up against these things more and more. Now, what then do we need that we may be a partaker, or that we may be included in this only one true religion, which is all centered in Jesus Christ? And it is to know him for ourselves. Now, how can we know these great and important truths? Because we've read there is one Lord. There's only one. There's only one true faith. And there is only one true God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. How then can we be taught the truth that we need to know for eternity? Well, this is what has been particularly in my thoughts in coming here today. I wonder if any one of you children or young people can tell me what is the only teacher that we have who can teach us the way to heaven and the truth as it really is. Now, there's only one teacher And that I've mentioned already, that in the Trinity we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Now, can you tell me the name of the third person in that Trinity? I've just told you. Can any one of you tell me that the one divine person in that Trinity, whose divine work it is to teach and to quicken sinners into life? Can you tell me? Any one of you? What is the name? I repeat the three: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Now, which one is it that can only teach us the way to heaven? Well, I'll give you the answer. It is God the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And I would encourage you, dear children, in this, because I'm sure at times your minds are confused. You know, you're very favored to have a pastor. You're very favored to have a pastor. You're very favored to have him here. And I believe it is true of him. Not only does he desire to be a pastor here, but he desires to be a teacher, to teach. But in real religion, the only way in which we shall ever learn what we really need to know to reach heaven, the only teacher that there is God the Holy Spirit. And I would encourage you, dear children, and all of us need this, to pray that the Holy Spirit will teach us the truth of the Bible, the truth as it is in Jesus. Now, I've one or two scriptures to bring before you in this, and then I'll leave these thoughts with you. But in John chapter 16 and verses 13 to 15, Jesus is speaking, and he is telling us what our need is, if we are to understand the Bible rightly, to understand the truth in our hearts. And I just read those three verses. The Lord Jesus Christ was soon to leave this world. He was soon to suffer upon the cross, to give his life for all his dear people. Now, this is what he said. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, now that is the Holy Spirit, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Perhaps there's a good deal I've said this afternoon you won't be able to remember, but I hope you might remember this. Pray that the Holy Spirit would teach you the truth as it really is. All these other religions that I've mentioned are false. And there's only one real religion, and that is to be found in Jesus. That is our only hope for eternity.